Good morning. Don't y'all love Miss Bonnie? She is awesome. Well, is it bad that I think I want to hang out with the group? I know there's some survival guides and some coconut run generator, I think I heard, but I'd probably just stick with the bacon group. And the coffee group, I don't know if I can pass that up. You know, that just sounds good. Well, guys, it's awesome to be with you this morning, and I'm Pastor Steven, and it's just an honor to hang out with you guys this morning. And we're so excited about you guys and about what God's doing in your life, and that you're in Starting Point, that you're walking this journey, and God's at work. In fact, I just wanted to tell you guys of a verse that we find in the New Testament in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And it says, and this is the Apostle Paul is speaking as he writes this, he says, hey, he who began a good work in you is going to finish it. He's going to bring it to completion. And so I just want to encourage you. I do this pretty much every month when I come in here. I just want to encourage you guys that God's at work in your life. And if you're doubting that this morning, don't doubt it. You're here for a reason. You're not here by chance. God has you right where he wants you to be, right here in January 2019. I don't care if the new year has started off awesome, or if it started off very interesting and pretty rocky for you. I'm sure we've got a little bit of both in this room. And, hey, my wife went to California for 4 days, and I'm by myself with 3 kids, so mine's been pretty rough. But I'm here, and I made it, amen? But we're glad that you guys are here, and God has you here for a reason. So glad that you guys are here. Well, we're going to jump in this morning. Last week, Pastor Dan Chinowski did a great job of talking about knowing God. And today we're going to jump into part two called Finding Freedom. Because not only do we want, and God wants you to know God, to know him, know who he is and who he isn't, and have a relationship with him, he wants you to find freedom. He wants you to live in freedom, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And, you know, last week, Pastor Dan read a scripture to you guys that pretty much encompasses the strategy that we follow as a church and also here in Starting Point, that each 4 weeks, right, you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference, and we find that strategy really all throughout the scriptures. But in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 through 7, we read about that, and I'm going to read that scripture again to us. I believe it's in your notes, but let's jump right in here, and this is God speaking to Moses, encouraging him to speak to the Israelites as they are getting ready to be freed from slavery in Egypt. He says, therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Y'all spoke about that last week. That was about knowing God, right? Having a relationship with God. And here's the part we're going to talk about this morning. It says, I will free you from being slaves to them. We want to talk about that this morning, but going on to finish the passage here, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I love this. I love this passage, and I love the idea that the strategy, know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference, is not just something that we made up. It is found in God's word. It's found in this passage we just read, and it's found throughout the scriptures, okay? And so you are here to hear about these different parts, and today we're going to talk about finding freedom. And you know, you read that passage, and this was thousands of years ago when God used Moses to lead the Israelites out of bondage, out of slavery in Egypt, and into the wilderness, right? And you read that, I encourage you to read that. It's a powerful story. And though that was thousands and thousands of years ago, there's some things we can pull from this passage that are still similar for us today. And when we come to know Jesus, right, we come to know him, to say yes to him, and he begins to help us find freedom. Because here's the deal, just like the Israelites had to physically leave Egypt, right? Be released from slavery and begin to walk out of Egypt. They left Egypt, but some of them still had some Egypt in them, okay? And that's the same way it is for us. We come to know Jesus. We give our hearts to Jesus, whether that was recently or years ago. But how many of us realize we still got some junk? Amen? I know I still got some junk. And we got some stuff in our life. And it's kind of that same concept that as God has rescued us from Egypt, right? We've said yes to him. Now we got to get some freedom. We've got to get that Egypt out of us, amen? And so that's what we're going to talk about and try to help you with this morning. So let's just jump right in. Let me say this, you know, God had saved the Israelites from Egypt But again, they still had some Egypt in them. And the process of freedom from their slavery mentality took three very important elements, okay? I don't think this is in your notes, but this is so important. It took time, okay? It took a relationship with God. And then this is important too. It took other believers. It took other people, other Christians, other strong believers in their life, right? That process of freedom. And the same, it's the same for you today. It's the same for me. It just takes time, that process of freedom. It takes a relationship, a living, thriving relationship with the Lord. And then it takes other people in my life that kind of kick me in the shin every once in a while when I need it. And I'm maybe making a choice or complaining and whining. And I just need people in my life to help me as I grow in my relationship with the Lord as I find freedom. Amen? So we need those same three things. But number one in your notes, let's jump right in. God wants us to be free from our own slavery mentalities and sinful habits that we adopted from our stay in Egypt. Were we physically in Egypt, as this passage said? No. But that Egypt is speaking of that time before we came to know Jesus, right? But when we were living apart from our relationship with God, right? And now that we know God, there's some stuff, there's some Egypt that we've got to get out, this slavery mentality to sin that we've got to get out of our life. You know, in the New Testament in John, the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, if I stopped right there, right, that'd be a pretty sad verse, wouldn't it? But it doesn't stop right there. It says, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Isn't that awesome? That's what God wants for you this morning. That's what he wants for us. He doesn't want us to just struggle through life. He doesn't want us to struggle with those things that have bound itself to us. He wants us to live in freedom. He wants us to have an abundant life. That's the kind of life I want, right? Does it mean life is perfect? No, it doesn't mean that. But we can have life abundant and know who is on our side as we walk through life, as we walk through challenges, as we walk through tough circumstances. God is with us, and we can live life and live it to the full. Just imagine that, right? Life abundant, not barely surviving, but truly living, right? It means days that begin with gladness and nights that end with peaceful sleep. How many of you would love some peaceful sleep? Amen, right? It means days filled with hope and joy and purpose. And this is the kind of life that God has always intended you and I to have and to live through him. And that's a great thing. That excites me. Number two, salvation is instant, but freedom is a process. What does this mean? Well, when you get saved, when you say yes to Jesus and you invite him to come into your life and be Lord and Savior of your life, right? When you said yes to him, your spirit man is made perfect in that moment. Whether it was just recently or years ago, at that moment of salvation, our spirit man's made perfect. When you come to know God, as Pastor Dan talked about last week and described for us, our spirit man, spirit woman is made perfect. But here's the deal. Your natural man, natural woman, needs some work. Amen? I know I need some work. We all do, right? And when we get saved, the spirit part of us is renewed. It is empowered. And that's step one. That's knowing God. But like, for the rest of us, it has to catch up. But the cool thing about this now is the spirit part can now influence the natural. I love that. That's why when we spoke with you last week about the importance of praying, about the importance of getting into God's Word, and we can't say that enough to you. Get into the Word of God, because now that Spirit, man, the Spirit of God helps us begin to go after the natural part so it can catch up, right? And we can become all that God has called us to be. Perfect? No. But become more of the man, the woman that God has called us to become, called us to be, right? But again, this is a process, and it takes time. Okay, just like a baby, I think every month that I do this, there's a baby in the room. This is so perfect. We got a little cute little baby right here, right? And just like this little baby, fully alive, but a lot of growing has to take place, right? This little baby right here just can't walk and go get some food like we did, right? It is dependent on mom right here, right? And so that's a perfect example of this. We have to allow God to do a work in us. And just like this little baby needs the help that it needs, but is going to grow and become who God intended the baby to be, it's the same for us and our relationship with the Lord. So be patient with that process. And hear this, don't give up. Some of you might be here, and like I said, maybe the first 13 days of this year have been pretty rough. I don't know. Maybe they have. And you're just lucky to be here this morning, right? For some of us. And maybe you're ready to give up, but don't give up. That's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to give up, but don't give up. Will challenges come? Yes, they're going to come if they haven't already come. Because our natural flesh wants what it wants. So expect a battle. And be ready to fight that battle. But we're going to talk about how you don't have to fight it. You don't have to fight it alone, okay? I like what Frederick Douglass said about the struggle for freedom. He had this quote. He said, "If there is no struggle, there is no progress. Those who profess to favor freedom and yet avoid confrontation are people who want crops without plowing the ground. They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the roar of its waters." Expect a battle. Challenges are going to come, but God is with us, and he's going to surround us with people that are going to walk with us as we find freedom and discover the freedom that God has for us. Number three, walking in freedom requires a partnership between God's power and our obedience. This is super important. It requires a partnership between God's power and our obedience. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, it says, "Finally, believers, rejoice. Be made complete." In other words, be what you should be. Be comforted. Be like-minded. Live in peace. Enjoy the spiritual well-being experienced by believers who walk closely with God. And the God of love and peace, the source of all loving kindness, will be with you. You see, a changed life begins with obedience to God. How many of you just love the word obedience? No. How many of you, your kids, really love the word obedience, right? Right? We don't just love that word, but a changed life begins with obedience to God. This means that you will have to stop doing certain things and start doing others, right? It begins with an obedience to say yes to Jesus and then begin to be obedient to what the word calls us to. In fact, in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus says this. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but not do what I say?" Right? And here's the deal. I think many people, all people want a Savior, but not everybody wants a Lord. And there's a difference, right? We all want Jesus to save us in our horrible state, in our situation that we're in. But once he saves us and rescues us, then it comes that part where we've got to surrender all to him. We've got to give him every pocket of our heart and our life. That's what lordship is all about. It's about saying, "God, you're better to run my life than for me to do it on my own." Right? I need to give you everything. The easy stuff to give you and the hard stuff. And for some of you in this room, maybe you've given him most of your life, but maybe there's some hidden pockets that you've just struggled to give to him. But if you will call him Lord and really do that and begin to completely, fully, 100% submit to his will, it's going to be amazing. And you're going to find true freedom that maybe you've been struggling to find. Again, everybody wants a Savior, but not everybody wants a Lord. But I guarantee you, when you partnership God's power with your 100% obedience, you are going to find freedom. Because God's going to give you the steps, give you the tools, going to bring the people in your life to help you find that freedom. Okay? But know this, whatever that you give up to follow Jesus will pale in comparison to what he will give you in return. I promise you that. As you call him Lord, as you fully submit to him. Amen? Number four, God uses the body of Christ, other believers, to administer the healing that we need, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we find this illustration of the human body in verses 25 and 26. It says, "The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on the other part, and the parts we mention and the parts we don't, the parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing." So basically, when I woke up this morning and I was tired, I needed my brain to tell me to put my feet down on the floor. And I needed my feet and I needed my legs to stand up, right? And I had to begin to walk. And my elbow needs, you know, my arm needs my elbow. My arm needs my wrist and my hands. You know, it all works together. The human body is this great illustration to us that we need all of it to function together. It's the same with the body of Christ. You know, we're going to get ready here in a minute to go over and worship together and listen to the Word of God together corporately. And this building is a beautiful building that God has blessed us with. It is Timber Creek Church, but really the church is us. The church is the people inside of it called the body of Christ. It's not the physical building. We're blessed with that, but really it's about us being together, the body of Christ. And you know what? Just like my shoulder and my elbow and my wrist and my fingers need each other, we need each other as the body of Christ. So vital, it's so important, and it's so important to finding freedom in our relationship with the Lord, okay? Number five, when connected to the body, healing agents can travel to the exact location of the wounds, hurts, and places of bondage, bringing healing and ultimate freedom. So here's the idea. You get connected to the body. Another great word for this is an idea of just community, right? It's being connected in community within the body of Christ, because we've all got wounds. Some of you sit here today and you've got really big wounds, really big hurts, and places of bondage maybe in this room. And if you get connected to the body of Christ, it creates this community that God's going to help you, because you're taking the time. God's helping you, and now he's using other believers from the body of Christ to help you find that freedom, okay? So important, so important. And you know, here at Timber Creek, we talk about that word community, and what we call community here at Timber Creek Church is what we call groups. And groups are a part of the movement, and I love groups. I love the movement because I get to work with that all the time. And that's how we find community. We believe taking a large, large church, making it smaller by providing groups, by providing Grow Track and Encounter and some of these other avenues, so that you can get in smaller communities with other people, so that you can grow, so that you can heal, so that you can find community, right? I love the definition of community. It says this: a community is a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common, a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. We need community. You need community. How many introverts are in the room and you're brave enough to raise your hand? There's some of you, the rest of you probably didn't even raise your hand. You didn't want to be noticed, right? Even us guys, even those who are quiet and like being in the background, don't like to be up front, you need community, all right? All of us, from introverts to extroverts, those who love to have fun and be around people, we need community, but we need healthy Christian community in our life. Let me ask a couple questions, and I'd love your help here this morning. Number one, what is so important about Christian community to those who have just come to know God? What's so important about Christian community for those who have just said yes to Jesus? Support. What else? To realize you're not the only one. Guidance. New friends and friendships. Absolutely. What's that? Education. Absolutely. Right? We learn from each other in community. Right on this side of the room. Kind of quiet back here. Yeah? Well, we need community. It's so vital, so important to those who have just come to know Jesus and began a new relationship with him. That's such an important component to you growing and becoming all that God called you to be and finding freedom. Here's another question I need your help with. What are some of the lies we believe that make us run away from this idea of community? Christian community. Judgment? What's that? That we're going to lose something if we... Right? Or I got to give something up if I open myself up to other people. What else? Thinking you're going to be judged. What else? What are some lies that we believe from the enemy that makes us run away from being in community? That you have to be perfect? Absolutely. Church is full of hypocrites. We hear that one every month. Yep. Right? A lack of trust. We could go on and on. And the enemy loves to lie to us about this because he does not want you to do this. Number one, he's incredibly upset that you made the decision you made to follow Jesus. It's the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your entire life. But right after that, he's going to come after you and say, sure, you made that decision, but you don't need other people. You don't need to tell them what you did. They're just going to judge you. They're going to lie to you. They're hypocrites anyway. Man, they can't handle it. You're the only one that's gone through that. Shame on you. How could you do that? You know, you hide back in the corner and don't open up. There's so many lies that the enemy throws at us. But guys, relationships are so key, right? Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, that's a good verse that we use in a wedding ceremony, and it's accurate, right? But at the same time, it's true of all of us. It's true in our relationship in this world. We need other people. Men in the room, I love you. I'm one of you, and we struggle with this idea. We're tough East Texas guys that just think, well, we push through it, and we figure it out on our own. That's just the way my dad did it, my grandpa did it, and that's the way I'm going to do it. You know, and we believe that there's this lie that to be vulnerable is to be weak, when really, to be vulnerable, it's the birthplace of connection. And we need to be connected with other men. Why? Because they have so much to educate us on as they've walked through the same situation that we're walking through right now that we're too scared to open up about. And we need that freedom. And guys, we need it. People, you know, men and women, everybody in here. And those of you that are terrified because of your past, don't let that define you. That does not define you. That does not hold you back from the new life that Jesus has for you. And if you believe the lie from the enemy that you don't need community, that you don't need connection, you're never going to find that true freedom. Amen? Okay. And so, you know, we do groups here. Groups is our way of doing community at Timber Creek Church. And not just groups. We have Grow Track and Encounter, which we're going to talk about here in just a minute. But you'll hear us talk about the movement. In fact, you're going to hear about it today in our services. In fact, you'll walk in, and in your worship guide, you're going to see a card that looks just like this. And it encourages you to join the movement. Why? Because we want you to get in community with other people. We want you to grow. We want you to find freedom. And on the back there's some great questions that help guide you along the way. The first question: have you completed Starting Point? Man, you guys are ahead of the game. You're already in here. You almost got this done. And then it asks you another question about getting involved on a dream team. You're going to grow super fast. When you jump out of Starting Point and you start serving, getting around other people, you're going to grow quickly. And then the third part, it's as unique as you are, your next step after that. Some of you need a group. You're new. You want healthier relationships in your life. We want you to get in on a group. If you're like, man, I'm a new believer, I have no idea what it means to even pray. I picked up the Bible and started reading this book called Leviticus, and I don't know what's going on, and I'm so confused. Please don't start in Leviticus. Start like in John, if you can. But hey, Grow Track is the best place for you to jump in and learn about prayer. Learn about what it means to read the Bible, and there's actually three parts to it. If you'll commit to it, I guarantee you your life will not be the same. And then there's Encounter for those of us that are like, you know, I just have this huge hurdle in front of me. There's this thing, this issue that I'm struggling with. It could be just an addiction. It could be just, you know, as a believer, it could be fear. It could be anxiety. It could be whatever. But it's a big hurdle hindering you from growing in your relationship with the Lord. That's what Encounter is all about, okay? But it's so important that we get connected in community, okay? So let me go through this section here. Why be connected in Christian community? This is in your notes. Number one, Jesus wasn't a loner. He lived in community with others. He set the example for us in so many ways, and he definitely did with this as well. The Gospels make it clear that he and his disciples, they traveled together. They ate together. They worked together and ministered together. They were together all the time. Jesus belonged to a group. So why shouldn't we, right? If he needed it, we need it too, right, to grow. And Jesus had many followers, right? He had his 12 disciples, but even within that group of 12 ragtag guys that were outcast from society that ended up turning the world upside down, he even had three guys within that group of 12 that he spent even more time with. And so groups were important to him. They should be important to us. Community should be important to us. Number two, Jesus puts a high value on community with other believers. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 24, it says this: therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now you might say, well, doesn't that have to do with like your gift, your giving, your offering? Yes, it does, but it also shows you the value of community in this passage. It shows you the value of healthy relationships. So God so values our healthy connection with other people and others that he would rather you put your offering on hold and go make things right between you and that person. So important. Number three, Christianity does not work in isolation and independence. The world's going to lie to you and say differently and say otherwise. It seems more and more that it is our goal as a society to avoid people at all cost. And guess what? It does cost us. It cost us a lot. It cost us dearly. We are a culture craving relationships. There was a George Gallup poll that was done, and they found out that Americans are among the loneliest people in the entire world, right? And they just found out that with all the technology and all the advancements in social media, right, our grandparents, you know, decades ago, when something happened on the other side of the world, they wouldn't hear about it for weeks. We know instantly when something happens, right? There's all these advancements, and yet we're more lonely than we've ever been before. And although our culture may value independence and isolation, they're countercultural to Christianity. They are, because that's not the way God designed us. In fact, I want to read something to you guys. I've been reading a book, and it's not even a Christian book. But I love this section because they talked about the idea of connection and community. And I just love it because it proves God right. And they don't even realize that they're doing it. But she said, it's this idea, she's talking about leadership, really. Her name's Brené Brown. And she says that a lot of people believe this idea, this myth that I can go it alone, right? That's our world today. I can just figure it all out on my own. I don't need community. I don't need vulnerability. I don't need to be vulnerable because I don't need anyone, right? That we believe that myth. We believe that lie, especially when we're walking through difficult times. The problem, however, she says, is that needing no one pushes against everything we know about human neurobiology. So they've actually studied the brain, neurobiology, and we are hardwired for connection. Yeah, we knew that. It's right here. It talks about it in the Bible, and they're a little late to the game, but it's amazing that even non-Christians are figuring this out. In the absence of authentic connection, we suffer, it says, and we do. And by authentic, I mean the kind of connection that doesn't require hustling for acceptance or changing who we are just to fit in. I'm talking about real, true connection and acceptance. There was a doctor who did a study. He dedicated his career to understanding loneliness, belonging, and connection. And he makes the argument that we don't derive strength from our rugged individualism, but rather from our collective ability to plan, communicate, and work together. It just shows the importance of that, right? Our neural, hormonal, and genetic makeup support interdependence over independence, right? He explained to grow to adulthood as a social species, including humans, is not to become autonomous or solitary. It's to become the one whom others can depend on. Whether we know it or not, our brain and biology have been shaped to favor this outcome. We've known this. We see it in the Word of God. And it's just, I love that because these are not Christians. These are not believers. These are people that have studied the human brain and science, and they're realizing exactly what God has always designed for us, that we were designed for connection, right? And that shows you guys how important it is. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. A man or woman with few friends and connections, I believe, are only half developed. I really believe that. There are whole sides of our personality that can only be called out by our friends. They can only be developed by deep and meaningful relationships. There's just something about having strong connections and people in your life that challenges you in ways that you cannot challenge yourself. I'm thankful for the men and women. I look back and Pastor Talia, she challenges me. She's in my life as a leader and as a friend, and she kicks me in the tail when I need it, right? You know, and the men that God has put in my life as well that do that. We all need that. We need that connection. Number four. Am I doing okay, Bonnie, or am I in trouble time-wise? Number four, nothing destroys the power of shame, sin, or offense like choosing to move toward community. Right? The enemy will do everything he can to isolate you and will use shame. He's going to use a variety of fears to keep you from connecting to others in Christian community. Whenever you find yourself hiding from others and trying to push them away, I pray that an alarm would go off and remind you that the enemy is trying to isolate you. That's his strategy. Right? He wants you to walk through life alone. That's why we have the value here at Timber Creek. We won't do life alone. We won't walk through life alone. We need each other. We need connection, right? You look at the life of sheep, right? Sheep never get attacked when they're in the herd, right? When the herd is together, they're never attacked. They get attacked when they're isolated from the herd. And that's the same for you and I and our life and our walk with the Lord. And so we, you know, the enemy, he wants us to walk through hard times alone. He wants us to struggle through life alone. He wants us to battle addiction alone. When God did not design us that way, he designed us to be in community so that we can truly find freedom. Your next response should be to talk to someone about whatever's going on right away so that you don't get tempted to isolate yourself. Number five, we grow in relationship with God as we grow in relationships with other Christ followers. We need God and we need the body of Christ. Just to finish up here, there's a great illustration from a book that I read. People who live life alone are at a much greater risk of sickness and poor health than their connected counterparts, okay? And in John Ortberg's book, Everybody's Normal Till You Get to Know Them, which is a great title, right? Refers to a study on relationships, and they tracked the lives of 7,000 people over 9 years, and guess what they found out? Researchers found that the most isolated people were 3 times more likely to die, yep, that's right, die, than their connected counterparts, those with strong relational connections. People who had bad health habits but strong social ties lived significantly longer than people who had great health habits but did everything on their own and lived isolated. In other words, it's better to eat Twinkies with good friends than to eat broccoli and die alone. Amen? Just remember that next time you want to run away from community. God's going to use other believers in your life, in community, and it's going to help you find freedom. Again, I just want to remind you guys, it's not just about groups, and you're going to do some group work here in just a minute and look at the different groups that we have offered this semester, but I want to tell you about everything else. Things have rapidly changed just a little bit in a good way over the last year. It's been so neat to see how God has brought us to this place where we now have what we call the movement here at Timber Creek Church. What is the movement? Well, the movement is a discipleship process, right, that ensures people take the right next step in their life, and that's what we want for you. You've jumped into Starting Point. That was your first next step. And now that you're going to be finishing up Starting Point, we want you to take the right next step after that. And we talked about Starting Point's part of the movement, Dream Teams, which is how you volunteer, how you begin to serve here. We want you to get on a Dream Team quickly after you get out of Starting Point. But then there's also groups, like I've been talking about, where we find community. But there's also Grow Track, and I mentioned it just a little bit earlier, and I'm going to have Bubba and Sonia come up here, too. They're going to speak about another part of the movement. But again, Grow Track, we have Grow Track 1, 2, and 3. They all meet on Wednesday nights. They're going to kick off at the end of this month on January 30th. If you've not been through Grow Track, you can start in Grow Track 1 in the chapel. And it'll start at 7 o'clock. And you can sign up today through the app, through the website. Right today, you can sign up for that. We've got some laptops available in the foyer as well. If you don't have a smartphone and you're like, hey, I want to get signed up, we'll get you signed up today for Grow Track or groups or Encounter. But Grow Track is an excellent way to teach you about the Bible, to teach you how to pray and what that means, to talk through what it means to be a true believer and to begin to see that relationship with the Lord grow. Whether you're a new believer or you're like, you know what, I've been going to church for years and I've just never really went through something like that teaches me a little bit more about reading the Word of God, praying, and just becoming more of who God designed me to be. And then you get into Grow Track 2 and 3, and you just continue to grow. And if you'll give your life to that for 3 semesters, I guarantee you that you're going to be stretched and you're going to grow. Renee's nodding her head. She just finished Grow Track 3 this last semester, so she went through the whole process, and it's just incredible. So did Pam, who's part of the team, and Jolene. A lot of people in this room have gone through it and can speak to it, and that's right. Miss Rayla here as well, and it's just an incredible opportunity for you to grow in your relationship with the Lord, and I'm going to let these guys kind of share. They're the coaches over Encounter, and let them talk about Encounter.
Good morning. I'm Bubba. This is my wife, Sonia. We have the opportunity to work with a really great team, Encounter. Encounter is an opportunity for you to learn the questions or the answers to the questions to the universe, to find those things that are not really. Why are we here? Has nothing to do with that. It is a class that I would consider an empowerment class, a class that gives you the opportunity to find who you really are in Christ, not who you think you are, but who you are, that the way the Lord sees you. It's not so much who we are, but whose we are. Those things that we deal with in life, habits, for instance, those things in life that we don't really understand maybe where they came from, a habit, something that you felt like you wanted yesterday, but tomorrow you got to have it. You got to have that habit then to help you escape things that are going on in your life, help you to understand what they are, how to get through them, and it's not really who you are. To help you identify those lies in your life that Satan has told you who you are, how useless you are, how you will never make it, and how you will understand God has a totally different plan for you. Some of the courses and some of the courses that we go through in the 8 weeks, alignment, walking in alignment with the Lord. What is that? What does that mean? Habits. Spiritual hand-me-downs, generational hand-me-downs that you have and actions that you partake in every day that you feel is just who you are, and it's not. Some of the best resources that I would encourage you is to talk with your table leaders. I notice all of these familiar faces. I think they can testify that the difference it has made in their lives. Jolene is an active table host in our encounter now. Rob and Bonnie, unfortunately, they'll be moving on into other things that the Lord is going to do for them out of encounter. It's probably going to fail, but that's their fault. But we love our people that come in. It's on Sunday nights for 8 weeks, and it culminates in a great retreat. I'm going to now turn it over to my wife, and she can make more sense of what is supposed to be said.
My sweet honey. So Encounter basically is an 8-week group curriculum that culminates into a weekend retreat experience. The goal of Encounter is to equip you to remove the things that are hindering you so that you can go deeper with God and truly walk in the freedom that Christ died for us. It's all through the work of the cross. So some of the topics that he talked about are identity in Christ. Who does God say we are? Because that's who you are. It doesn't matter who you think you are or who your parents or your ex told you, but who does God say you are? Because that's who you are. And what does it look like to be in alignment with Christ? And personally for you, what pulls you out of alignment? What pulls me out of alignment? Because sometimes it's different. It's identifying those things. It's the armor of God. What does that look like for my life? How do I apply it to my life? Encounter kicks off on February 17th, 6 o'clock in the evening. We'll be in the chapel. It is absolutely powerful, but it's to equip you to truly operate in the freedom that Christ died for us. I asked a sweet lady that went through Encounter last semester, I said, hey, just in a sentence, what did Encounter do for you? And this is what she said. This is a lady who her and her husband had served in full-time ministry for years. So she was seasoned. She knew the word. She knows the story. She could teach it. She was living it. But she said, Sonia, Encounter set me free from a prison that I didn't even know I was in. And that is the truth. God meets you exactly where you are because we're all at different places. So Encounter is for the seasoned saint who knows all the stories, who can quote all the scriptures and thinks, man, God is just doing everything that I know that he can in my life. It's for you because he's going to meet you where you are, but it's also for that brand new Christian that just got saved this morning. God's going to meet you where you are and take you on a powerful journey to operate in the gifts and the talents and the freedom that he died for you. We would love to see you guys. Y'all let us know if you have any questions.
Thank you guys. Awesome. Incredible stuff. And so the movement, you know, you've heard different pieces of it. And what we're going to do right now is at your table, the table host, they are experts, right? Table host? They're all looking at me like I'm crazy. They are experts. But they have a sheet for you that lists all the different groups. And we have three different styles of groups. We have social groups, study groups, and support groups, okay? And they can explain the differences to you, and then I'm going to come back, or Bonnie will come back here in just a little bit to kind of close it off. But this is an opportunity, and if you have any questions, please ask them, and we want to help you with that next step.